You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Hey, what's up, folks? Welcome to another On Texas Football live stream. That's right. It is the Wednesday night live stream, folks. My man, Bobby Burton, Lifetime Longhorn, Bobby Burton, Lifetime Longhorn, CJ Vogel. I'm Lifetime Longhorn, Rod Babers. Happy to be here with you guys. Thank all you guys for joining us. We appreciate it. Throw the questions out there. You know how it works. We'll try to answer as many of them as we can. The Super Chats, they jump to the front of the line. You can disrupt the show at any time. We know Longhorn fans are excited. And I'm sure a lot of you are anxious to talk about the transfer portal. It give it and it take it away. All right, you're going to be on both sides of that. So we'll discuss Texas, the latest departure on the 40 acres in the transfer portal. We'll get into that. The NFL draft is right around the corner. So, of course, everybody's excited about the NFL draft. We'll talk a little NFL draft on the show today and get you guys revved up for that. We'll also, if you want to talk some of the stuff from the spring game, we can get into that too. I still watched it. I watched the defense, actually, 2 days ago. Watched all the defensive players to try to figure out exactly what they were trying to achieve defensively in the spring game. So got some thoughts on that. So we can get into that too. But your thoughts and your questions, they jump to the front of the line. So we'll answer as many of them as we can. Thank you guys for joining us. All right, gentlemen, let's start with the biggest news on the 40 acres, the defensive backfield, which, by the way, after watching the spring game, they couldn't afford to lose any guys. And yeah, they got some losses. After the Terrence Brooks news, then we have another Texas defensive back expected, reported to hit the transfer portal, Austin Jordan. Now, not as impactful as Terrence Brooks because he wasn't a starter from last season, but still a guy expected to help you add, you know, veteran depth in that secondary. What are your thoughts? CJ, I'll give you the floor first. What are your thoughts about Austin Jordan now in the transfer portal, another defensive back?
Yeah, you mentioned not the top line guy that you would expect to see in the Texas secondary in 2024, but certainly a guy that would figure into the rotation at times. Of course, having experience in the past, both at nickel and at outside cornerback, this is a guy that can help, you know, kind of bridge the gap in terms of the versatility and depth in that secondary. No longer the case. You know, he had been struggling a little bit to get onto the field on a consistent basis there for the Longhorn secondary. Of course, his departure does mean, hey, Texas is now in a – even more of a need of going out and adding a portal secondary member, of course, with Terrence Brooks already in that group. Texas now certainly looking in that market, and I think there's a couple of guys right now that make a lot of sense for the Longhorns to go out and pursue. We'll get into that a little bit later, but of course, Austin Jordan, I was a fan of his at Denton Ryan. He was a good player, good athlete, not necessarily a guy that had blazing speed, but, you know, he's a physical guy at the line of scrimmage. He made a nice play in the spring game as well, coming off of the edge with the batted ball at the line of scrimmage. It was all about finding that consistency for him in coverage, and it just couldn't click right away. Unfortunate, of course, because, again, that depth piece would have been nice, especially following the loss of Terrence Brooks. But I think Texas right now, with some of the young guys coming in, eventually would have taken over that role for him probably by the end of the season or at least into 2025 as well.
You know, I would add that Austin Jordan's was a third-team guy, okay? But he wasn't your average third-team guy, Rod. A lot of third-team guys aren't contributing members, right? But he was truly a contributing member of the secondary and would have been again this year, particularly because – both Jahdae Barron and Jalen Gilboe have both had injuries their entire career. at Texas. Jordan, the third string star, he actually had an interception last year, if y'all remember that. I think it was against Kansas. They rotated him in and trusted him, in my opinion. And so I would tell you that that situation, it's disappointing. I had heard earlier in the week that he was actually going to stay. I think CJ had heard the same thing. Mm-hmm. To hear that he's going today, a little bit iffy at this point back there. On top of the Terrence Brooks news, but we should say, even though that's the case, Rod, and you mentioned the secondary as a whole, I'm not so sure that Texas and Terrence Brooks wasn't just a meeting of the minds departure. And so from that standpoint, Steve Sarkisian, the buck stops with him, right? And so he makes those decisions and tries to figure it out. I think they're going to roll the dice and play, see if they can't get Takario Davis from Arizona, who's in the portal. Yeah. Maybe an Anthony Johnson out of Western Kentucky, who's in the portal as well. Those are two names that we've heard that are possibilities. I would say this, though. To your point, Terrence Brooks is the one where, look, they're going to have to find a replacement, because I don't think Warren Roberson's ready for that. I'm not sure Gavin Holmes is better than Terrence Brooks. He wasn't last year, or they would have played him.
Yeah.
And so this is a situation, Rod, where I think that, you know, Sark's going to run the team the way he wants to run it, and that's how things are going to go. Look, I think a lot of people saying things about Terrence Brooks and even Terry Joseph and Blake Gideon. Let's not. Everybody doesn't have to be at fault. Sometimes it can be a mutual parting, and let's be smart about that. I don't like whenever somebody leaves that they're all bad, or when somebody's player leaves that coach is all bad, etc. So let's be smart about that as Longhorn fans, in my opinion.
Yep. No, good stuff there, Bobby. I think also you have to now seriously consider, if you like what you saw from Jalen Gilbo this spring, because he had the whole spring, you got a good sample size without Jahdae Barron playing that star. If you like what you saw, and from what I'm hearing that he was consistent in the spring and he played well even in the spring game, that maybe Jahdae Barron is an option for you out at the other corner opposite Malik Muhammad. And maybe that's not something you do all the entire season, but it should at least be an option depending on what you get in the transfer portal. Depending on, if you get the young man from Arizona, that'd be great. But if it doesn't work out for you in transfer portal, you might need to consider that, because I'm with you. I'm not sure Gavin Holmes is better than Terrence Brooks. And I'm not sure about – that's kind of why it is surprising that Terrence Brooks left, because even if he was in just a straight-up, you know, competition with Gavin Holmes for that spot, I would have thought he'd have been confident enough that, hey, I'll win it. I'll win the spot. I'll win the spot. My skills will win out. Through training camp, it'll win out, and I'll be the frontline starter. They'll still rotate, but I'll be the frontline starter. But obviously Gavin Holmes was winning his fair share because he started the spring game, and from what I hear, he was pushing Terrence Brooks. That shouldn't have been a competition, and I think that's kind of where the coaches probably feel like, why is this a competition, Terrence Brooks? It shouldn't be a competition. You've been here. You got the skill set. You got the start. You got the snaps. You got all the experience. At this point in spring in your career, you should be separating and elevating from everyone, and maybe that just wasn't the case. So
that's exactly it, Rod. A guy with 19 career starts and 23 career games should not be splitting first team reps, you know, in spring for practice. And I think a little bit of that, Bobby, you mentioned this on OnTexasFootball.com. You don't come in, you know, as a third year starter, 12 pounds heavier than what you were in the Sugar Bowl. You know, I think that's a bit of a red flag. And of course, when the play doesn't add up, then you start wondering as a coaching staff and in terms of the player personnel department as well, you know, what are we really working with here? I think it's a little bit of a big question mark with Terrence Brooks at the point in the spring that he wasn't your number one cornerback, or at least wasn't 100% at that first team unit. He's a little bit heavier than he was. He already wasn't that blazing fast guy that we expected to see at times. But, you know, when you kind of add those pieces up and you start seeing Gavin Holmes and Jahdae Barron and some of these young guys making impactful plays in live game scrimmages, especially on the opposite side of the field with Manny Muhammad, who we heard about making interceptions seemingly every time they were in live situations, you start thinking, you know, why is Terrence Brooks not doing this? And so it certainly continued to build up as the spring progressed. And of course, when you're a guy who's expecting to be a third year starter and you're not with that first unit, then you start wondering, what's the issue? Why am I not where I'm supposed to be? Is it me? Is it the coaches? And then, you know, rifts continue. So it's unfortunate. Again, Texas is going to have to be active in the portal. I expect them to be. Those two names we mentioned earlier, Takario Davis and Anthony Johnson Jr. out of Western Kentucky, both of which I've been told that Texas is interested in and will be in the market to add potentially this portal window, which 6 days away from closing at the end of April. So, of course, players can still sign and commit afterwards, but it'll be interesting to see if anybody else enters because, of course, you know, the market never seemingly dries up completely at prime positions. So cornerback is certainly one of them.
Yeah. And one of the I will say this, one of the defensive back coaches left to go with one of the assistant defensive back coaches left to go with Jeff Choate to Nevada, Joey Thomas. I think that's going to impact a couple of people. Maybe Terrence Brooks was one of them. I'm not quite sure. But my bigger piece on this is, look, it puts Texas in a precarious position.
Yep.
But I think Steve Sarkisian was willing to do that. And that probably speaks to what he wants to do and where he wants to take the team. I do think Texas has a good chance at one of these DBs out of the portal, if not both of them. So I'm not going to sit here and handicap it as X percent tonight. But I do believe they're serious about it and think that they can potentially get those done. The question I will have overall right now is, you know, what does this look like? You start moving Jahdae Barron out the corner, Rod. That means you're only one deep at nickel right now, or star. You know, so what you do?
You got McCooper that can play it too. So
yeah,
versatility thing. You know,
you're not wrong. And so that would get. I thought this is a good conversation. What did you think of Makuba on a rewatch? Because I actually thought he was the best safety on the field on Saturday.
No, he's I love how quickly he gets to the action. He's small. Yeah, you could tell he processes really well. He's smaller than I thought, though.
Yeah,
I thought he was a little bit bigger. I thought he'd be a little thicker. Sometimes I was like, is that Makuba? He's a little smaller than I thought on the field. But you can tell, man, he processes things really well. Like I said, he's quick to the action. And I think he's going to end up being, you know, one of your frontline starters at the safety position, pretty much he and Derek Williams. And then you'll be rotating guys like Taft or Jelani McDonald and those other guys. So we'll see. But I think he could play the nickel. But we know he can. So even Sark said he could play every position in secondary. So did Dabo Swinney. So if you need it, he could play it. If you need some depth there. That's why I think you got to get to the point where you're doing more mixing and matching with different lineups and configurations in your secondary and not the wholesale rotational changes you do when you're rotating guys, because I think that makes you easier to expose when you're just doing wholesale rotations of frontline guys and then those second guys behind them. So I'd like to see the secondary coaches in PK and Nansen too try to do more mixing and matching with these DBs, considering how many guys can play multiple positions, considering how, you know, you do have some younger guys now that you may be able to put in there. I would like to see them try to put more of the second string guys or the backup guys, the guys that are rotational players, to put them in there with the frontline starters to stabilize it and do more different lineup changes, kind of how you do in basketball, right, where you have different lineups that are really, really effective. And I think you can do it. And, you know, maybe that's something you should have been experimenting with in spring. But I like to see you do that rather than look to, because I think your frontline guys are going to be okay once the season starts. Makuba and Muhammad and Jahdae Barron and, you know, Derek Williams. I mean, those frontline guys, that's pretty good. Those are really good players. I think have a chance to be great players. But then when you start rotating, which they want to do, I think that's when Texas, you have to get into guys that could be exposed in that secondary, and I think they should try to do more mixing and matching with some of those guys rather than the wholesale rotations.
Yeah, weeks 1, 3, and 4 are going to be very, very important for that secondary unit to get up to speed. Of course, getting their feet wet a little bit in this Texas system before SEC play starts. I think you'll see Texas against Michigan on the road week 2 deploy what we saw a little bit against Alabama. Of course, running that frontline group more so than what, you know, the other non-conference games will warrant. But Rod, to your point about Mukuba, I wanted to go back to that real quick because I made it down to field level right before the conclusion of the game from the press box. And I remember, you know, I was in the end zone in which the Hail Mary took place at the very end. And that very, very cool for that secondary unit to get a live rep of a Hail Mary as well. You don't see that very often. That's important. But that was also funny because, you know, they took a little timeout right before they jogged back out on the field. And I look out, and I see a little flappy jersey. And I'm like, what are, you know, you don't normally see that at Texas, you know, those jerseys are skin tight. Now, who's that in the orange running back deep to safety at the goal? It was Mukuba. Yeah.
Wow.
86. But then I look back and you rewatch the film and you're like, okay, he plays very instinctually.
Yes, he
plays smart within his range and he's got the spring to him. That's how I would describe his athleticism. He's very springy when it comes to the way that he runs, jumps, leaps, whatever. But then you go back and watch the tape and that physicalness, you know, it stands out. The physicality, he laid a pretty good lick on CJ Baxter or Savion Redd. It was one of the two coming off the right side. For a 5-yard game, there wasn't a fall forward there. The two of them met, and they instantly went down. I was impressed by that. So I think he plays a little bit bigger. He's not a Jalen Catalon coming down running the alley, but he's certainly a guy that can come up and make physical plays, despite not necessarily being, you know, the big honcho, you know, the guy that fills out that jersey very well and looks like the mannequin inside the locker room.
Yeah, exactly.
I want to say this. I mean, he also stopped C.J. Baxter one-on-one on the goal line.
Yeah,
he stopped C.J. Baxter at the two. They punched it in the very next play, but on an inside run. But I just thought, Rod, I am interested in what you thought of the defense because I looked pretty hard at him too. I thought Mukuba was the best looking safety. He's the one that didn't get burned during that game. Didn't come up too late on anything. Didn't come up too slow. Didn't get beat over the top. So
yeah,
I thought that of all of them. I thought he played as well, if not better, than any of them at this point. Hey, we want to say thank you to our sponsor tonight, one of our sponsors, Andy Ludicky of MyPerfectFranchise.net. If you're looking for a bit to own a business of your own, maybe franchising might be the right fit for you. Visit MyPerfectFranchise.net. Andy is an expert at this. He's placed dozens of people with new businesses, 404-973-9901. That's 404-973-9901. Andy at MyPerfectFranchise.net. He's got a great solution where he actually puts you through a Q&A of sorts, allows you to tell him kind of what you like in a business or might be able to afford, as well as what you might be good at, and then goes down his list and actually talks to people about it from there. It's a really neat consultation. I've actually done it myself. Again, 404-973-9901.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial. And with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown. And through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
All right, thank you to Andy Ludicky, and we appreciate his support. All right, gentlemen, let's answer a couple of questions here. We got a bunch of them, so we'll try to answer as many of them as we can, guys, so we appreciate you. James Henson. James Henson wants to know he wants to know about the portal. He says, hey, guys, have y'all heard anything new about Dominic? And he says, also, have y'all heard anything new on possible portal entries or losses? We just talked about, of course, the Austin Jordan news, which is the latest news from Texas in terms of transfer portal departures. But what about Dominique Williams is what I'm assuming he's who he's talking about, the TCU defensive lineman, who I believe is in town or was in town for an official visit. What are your updates on that, Bobby?
Yeah, absolutely. So he got into town yesterday after school. He actually went to school yesterday, Rod.
Good for him.
And then came down to Austin and stayed at the Four Seasons and rode around in a Lambo. Just like every college student, right?
Wow. I was born in the wrong era, Bobby.
I took my official visit to Texas at the Super 8 Motel, or the Villa Capri, which is right off of campus back in the day. I remember that. Long story short, wow. He was in town this week, yesterday, and most of today. I believe he's now left. I don't know that 100% sure. But Texas deeply involved there, along with Oklahoma and LSU. As of right now, I really think it might be coming down to a lot of Texas, LSU, and OU, those three. I don't know that Oregon or Colorado, either one, will actually get him on campus. As it relates to other portal entrants from Texas outside of Austin, Jordan. So right now, Texas is at 7, or 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. They're at 8 right now, portal entrants thus far. Look, we've heard 2 or 3 more are possible, including some specific names. But given what happened with Austin, where we heard he was coming back yesterday, and now today he decided to go in, we're not gonna say anything's definitive anymore until guys actually go in. But we have actually heard that, I guess 3 is the number that might still be out there. But again, we're waiting, and not gonna really play that game where we sit there and talk about other things. Outside of the defensive tackle situation, Texas also now looking at defensive backs in the portal, like we just mentioned. Takario Davis out of Arizona, Anthony Johnson, another one out of Western Kentucky. They may be finding others as possibilities as well as they go along here.
Man. The Johnny Nansen connection, if they end up with the Takario Davis, that'd be amazing if you end up getting that young man out of Arizona too. All of your holes potentially in your roster, you filled with that Johnny Nansen connection. So that'd be pretty cool if that was the case.
Hey, Rob, what did you think? I'm going to ask you a question. The defensive front and on your rewind or your watch again, yep. What were your thoughts on the defensive front, particularly the interior guys at defensive tackle?
I was going to say, I thought the edges played really well, actually. But I thought that the D-tackles played better than I thought, too. I thought Savea might have been the most impressive of that group. I thought he played really well on the inside. You didn't see a lot of the front line starters. I mean, Alfred Collins obviously didn't play that much. Vernon Broughton wasn't there and wasn't available. So in terms of the depth, I think you saw a lot of guys that probably – you're not going to see, but I loved Alex January. I thought for a young guy, he flashed. If he's a guy that can put together, you know, put it together on a more consistent basis. I don't get a chance to see him in practice, but he definitely flashed in the spring game when you saw him. So, I think they may be in a better place with the defense line, especially now adding Bill Norton to the mix. But I thought in the spring game, they played better than I thought. Or maybe it's like the glass half full, glass half empty thing. Is the Texas interior run game just not as formidable as we would have thought? Should that have just been better? Because I thought Texas would have more push in the interior run game. If there was one complaint that I would have offensively, that would be the one complaint offensively. Being nitpicky, but it would be more of a push in the interior run game. I don't think we really saw that from Texas in the spring game. They didn't need it, but we don't think we saw much of it.
I would agree with you. We talked about this morning, me and Jerry. Jake Majors didn't play much either.
There you go.
Keep that in mind. He rotated out fairly quickly. And I'm going to say this. I'm not sure Hayden Connor should be center number 2 because he doesn't provide much push in the run game at center any more than he does. And I'm not downing Hayden Connor because he's obviously got his strengths because I think he's pretty good in pass protection. Mm-hmm. Actually gets out on some pulls very nicely. But as far as a straight ahead run blocker, he's just not him. And I don't think he does that very well when he's playing center either.
Yeah,
I'm not so sure Connor Robertson just isn't the second best center on the roster right now over Hayden Connor. So if Hayden Connor or if Jake Majors went out, I'm not so sure they wouldn't do what they did again in OU and insert Connor Robertson just based off of what I saw. Because I saw a lot of what you saw, Rod. No movement up front.
No push.
Most of that time was with Hayden Connor at center. I thought.
That's interesting. Yeah, you're right. That's a good point.
Yeah. That's really interesting because, again, the whole spring was all about the moving pieces on the interior. And so, again, when I actually was encouraged a little bit about DJ Campbell and Cam Williams, that rapport that they had at times in the pass protection, that, of course, was a big question mark for DJ Campbell's, will he be able to pick up blitzes and stunts and twists while working with a new right tackle, as well as a potential Hayden Connor or Connor Robertson inside to his left? So to me, that was encouraging there. In the run game specifically, I think, Rod, to your point of being glass full on one side and glass empty on the other, you got to take the win on the defensive side there. You know, all spring, for the most part, we've been hearing about Anthony Hill flying around the football. We've been hearing about David Benda being a guy that's very quick to diagnose now in the running game, and a guy that uses his athleticism and speed to plug holes that he probably wasn't getting to in years past. So that's encouraging to me, seeing the two of them, as well as a Leonga Lafau, a Maurice Blackwell, or, you know, even Kendrick Blatcher, who got some run late in that game. Like, just getting an idea of how they can fit behind this defensive line, which, to your point, I thought was very encouraging on Saturday last week. Is it because that group in the interior wasn't playing with each other all that much? It could be. But also, not having your number one center who's been around for almost 100 games, it feels like, you know, that's a big piece of that. And I think that's a big part of why we didn't see those big running lanes is, you know, Jake Majors is a good football player. He's going to have a career in the NFL, and it's not too often that you see guys, you know, enter year five as a starting center. That's a very important part of the Texas offense. And I think it's certainly reminded folks a little bit of how important he is to that unit in its entirety.
Yeah.
100 games, CJ.
He's been here a while, Bobby. He might be up there.
Yeah.
He's got that stamp. You know, you go to you go to Cabo Bob's or any of those spots around West Campus. He's got every hole punched. Doritos coming out with them all. That's what he's got them at every eat spot in West Campus. I guarantee it.
That is great. Yeah, that's he got that OG status at this point, man. He's OG. OG around town. I love that. All right, I get back to a couple of these questions here, gentlemen. How about this one? From Tyler Rolo. In y'all's opinion, what is our secondary going to look like compared to last year? More interceptions as a whole or less? More blown coverages in the future? I think, first of all, the secondary is going to look very different, right? You just lost a starter, Terrence Brooks, in the secondary. Ryan Watts was a starter for you last year. He's gone. Jaron Thompson was basically a starter for you. Like, he's gone. Keaton Crawford was a contributor. He's gone. I mean, you're losing a lot of guys who are – you know, known commodities in that secondary. You know, that's the bad news. You know, the good news is, well, you weren't necessarily that great. I mean, you were, what, 109th or something like that in pass defense in the country. So you could – there's a lot of room for improvement with that group. So some people may think it could end up being addition by subtraction with the new guys they brought in, with Makuba, young Malik Muhammad ascending, with Derek Williams should be taking another step. I love Derek Williams. I love his game. You bring in Jade Barron back, of course. You got to figure out that corner opposite of Malik Muhammad. But I don't think the secondary right now, I can't project it to be a strength after what I saw. Before I saw the spring game, I was like, hey, man, right now they have the pieces. They have the talent back there. But the sum of his parts does not add up necessarily. And I won't say it's a strength. I'm hoping that they can stabilize enough where it won't be a weakness. Right now, it's hard to say that it's going to be a strength because they gave up a lot of big plays. And I don't know what they're going to do at the corner spot opposite Malik Muhammad. I think that can be that's going to be a concern for me.
Rod's got a big question mark over his head right now about the
corner. I do.
Rod, you're throwing your corner colors right now because that's a big spot that people don't realize that is a key. Sometimes they overplay. Oh, well, anybody can't just play that at the same level Terrence Brooks did.
No.
You're going to have to find somebody, either somebody, they're going to have to coach somebody up and somebody's going to have to get good enough, or they're going to have to find somebody in the portal. And frankly, based on what we saw, I'm not sure they wouldn't be better off finding somebody in the portal for right now. For right now. So that's the reality of it. And I agree with you, Rod. I mean, that's that you got that question back there. I will say Makuba, we mentioned that. And whether or not they're gonna bust more or not is a good question. Look, Terrence Brooks busted, Gavin Holmes got stacked. Michael Taft came down too late.
Bad angle to the football. Yeah.
So there were three or four. I wouldn't call them. Brooks was a bust.
It was bad eyes.
Holmes. I wouldn't call what happened to Gavin Holmes a bust. I'd call that him getting beat. You know.
Yep.
That's probably 15 the opposite way. You know, if that play happens 10 times, I think that's a flag 8 or 9. There was a pretty bad missed call on the face mask off the release, in which Gavin Holmes is stumbling down towards the line of scrimmage a little bit. I thought. You know, Isaiah Bond got a little away with one a little bit there. So
he did.
To that question that was brought up earlier, what will this group look like? I don't think we'll have an idea really if it's going to be a strength or a weakness, or if it's going to be a considerable question mark for the fall, until you figure out who that second cornerback is going to be. If you go out and you add a guy like Takario Davis, who was a top 15, top 20 cornerback in defensive grades and coverage grades per PFF a year ago, that's a huge piece. You know, that's a draftable guy, probably a day two pick at 6'4". You talk about the length that, you know, this staff has coveted so far. When you look at, you know, Kobe Black, you know, Santana Wilson, Wardell Mack, these guys have pretty lengthy arms. If you go at a guy that's 6'4", I mean, that means a little something extra. Has great length, great speed, certainly plays press coverage a little bit as well at Arizona a year ago. If he's that guy that joins your group, of course, now you're looking at a group of Takario Davis, Manny Muhammad, you have Gavin Holmes, and of course, you have a Jahdae Barron or even, you know, a Warren Roberson as your fourth and fifth cornerbacks. I think that's a very solid group. Now it comes into how does that relate to the communication with the secondary? Can you rely on, you know, Derek Williams, Andrew Makuba, Jelani McDonald, Michael Taft to get the calls out with new set of, you know, full-time starters? That's going to be a question, I think. And it certainly would have been nice to have come out of this spring known that this wasn't going to be an issue. But here we are, and it'll be a big part of the summer conditioning and fall camp to just ensure that, hey, by week one, we are all the same unit. We move in sync with one another. There's no, you know, communication issues. We're all on the same page when it comes to motions, new looks, formations, whatever it is. That's going to be a bit of a question mark going into 2024. But I think in the terms of what this group could still be, I think the ceiling is pretty high when you consider who we believe that the Texas staff to be targeting right now in the portal.
Here's one thing to consider, too, that I watched in the spring game. Texas usually plays more two high safety looks, two high shell looks than they do single high. Two highs is basically your cover fours, your quarters coverage, your cover two, cover six, which is a combination of a combo coverage of cover four on one side of the field, cover two on the other. But in the spring game, and usually they're probably about, I don't know, 55 to 60% two high shell looks as opposed to single high looks. But in the spring game, they were more single high looks, single high shell looks with one deep safety more so than two high shell looks. And I think that may have been a Johnny Nansen influence. When Johnny Nansen's at Arizona, they play mostly cover one and they play mostly cover three, which are single high looks with single deep safety. And I think they're now either experimenting with it more in the spring for something they want to incorporate more when the season comes, or, you know, maybe this is kind of a shift by PK, but I don't think it's a coincidence that Johnny Nansen's now on the staff as the co-DC, and now you're playing more of those single high looks, the cover three. And we know Sark wants to play more cover one. He's actually on the record saying he wants to play more man coverage. And what did you see in the spring game? You saw basically fundamentals fail players in man coverage, playing bump and run in the boundary. That was Gavin Holmes and a young Kobe Black. And you saw Terrence Brooks, a veteran, bust a cover three, which he should have been eyeing the number two receiver, but his eyes was transfixed on the number one receiver instead. So he blew that coverage. So I think they're experimenting with playing different coverages, not just the quarters coverage. Texas played match quarters, pattern match coverage, which is pattern match quarters, which is basically a cover four that ends up deteriorating into a man coverage when the route declares itself. That's what they played. That was the Gary Patterson influence, and they played that at a probably a top 10 rate in the Power Five last season. And that's their money coverage. They play it as much as any team in the Power Five, really. And I think they want to diversify. And if they do, they got the guys got to start reading their keys correctly, and guys got to be more sound in their assignments, and they got to be more sound in their fundamentals and their technique when they are playing man-to-man coverage. So it's a work in progress. Bad, you saw a combination of bad eyes, bad angles, and busted coverages, and you know, and bad fundamentals and technique in that spring game. It was a gumbo of different things. I wish it was just one thing. I wish it was just one thing that keeps failing them, but it's not. And that is a continuation from last year. So the blueprint is out on the secondary of how to attack Texas and how to in the passing game. It's use a lot of inside breaking routes, closely cluster groups of receivers and bunch routes, run out some empty formation if you can do that too, and throw it deep. Throw it deep. Throw it deep.
Yeah. Rod, last thing on this topic, because I know we have plenty of other questions to get to, but I'm in Las Vegas. Obviously, I was at a Chariot event last night at Allegiant Stadium. Very cool, by the way. But as a result, I got to sit and chat a little bit. Pick the brain of Pro Football Hall of Fame finalist Eric Allen, you know, one of the best cornerbacks of all time. Got to sit and chat with him for a little bit. And I asked him, I was like, you know, at cornerback, what if you have a strength of playing up against, you know, the line of scrimmage and you don't necessarily reroute or get hands on, you know, how much of a deficit does that put you in if you're not, you know, rerouting essentially at the line of scrimmage? And he said, you know, if you have top end speed, it's not that bad of an issue. But when you don't and you don't have a good pass rush, well, then now you're in a disadvantage because you just opened up the gates essentially for that running or for that wide receiver to get by you to take a left or a right cut and get open. You know, it's that simple. And as a result of I asked him essentially, I was like, you know, what if you're not going to play contact or if you're not going to reroute and get hands, how do you fix that? And it's the mirror step, you know, Rod. And that's that interesting, you know, if you the wide receiver jab steps left, you take that jab step left. You know, you just mirror them. Yep. And so I like that. And I hope that we continue to see Texas with their cornerbacks, because this has been a conversation that we've had plenty of times, Rod, finding ways to reroute, just break up the quarterback dropping to his back step and then firing the ball to a slant to an in to an out. Just find a way to just offset that rhythm a little bit. And right now I really liked what I heard from Erica last night, and I thought it was brilliant. Yeah, just find a way to get that guy to take a fifth step rather than a fourth before he takes a break. Because then again, it just helps your, you know, what you expect to be a good pass rush off the edges to get one more step up the field and pressure that quarterback. So that's what I hope to see more of. And maybe that's a strength of a guy out of the portal. Maybe that's a strength of a Jahdae Barron who plays close physical football near the line of scrimmage. We'll see. But right now, it's all about finding ways to reroute at the line of scrimmage to me if Texas is going to continue to press.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. And I think they want to do it because they did it more last year. But the guy's got to be better at it if you're going to do it more. All right, a couple of more questions here before we give you a word from our fantastic sponsor. How about this one? And this one comes from Michael. He said, VY, NIL value these days. We know that, my man, we know that Quinn Ewers has a private jet endorsement now because of his NIL, and I believe him and Jackson Dart have that. I think there are a lot of guys that probably would have broke the bank when it comes to NIL value around the time. VY would have been one of them. Johnny Manziel would have been one of them. We know that. Tim Tebow would have been one of them as well.
Ricky Williams.
That's a couple Lamborghinis for Vince.
Hey, guys, but the truth is, and I want to bring this up for a reason. Thank you, Michael, because I think it's a good point to bring up. With Arch Manning and what he did in that spring game, and I said this when he declined to be in the video game. Thank God he did, actually, because now think about what we'd be dealing with right now if he was in the video game. But it was basically just a shrewd business move as well, because he's going to be on the cover of that game. I don't know if it's going to be the next game. I don't know if it's going to be the next one. After this one, But you know at one point he's going to be on the cover of that game, guys, because he's going to be considered the biggest name when he becomes the starting quarterback at Texas. And I think ultimately that's what the negotiation's about. And I think in the spring game, it gave me even more confidence in that prediction. Archie Manning going to be on the cover of that game one day. And speaking of NIL value, he's not getting anything until he becomes a starter. We know that. But when he does, oh, man. Private jet endorsements, all kind of wild stuff going to be coming down.
Hey, I got to tell you this. VY, you know what he got? He got a steakhouse.
That's not too bad.
I've been to Ditka's Steakhouse. I've been to VY's Steakhouse. I've been to Don Shula's. Some steakhouses. VY got a steakhouse for his NIL deal.
That is fantastic. That's a great, you know what? That's, on that note, let's get a word from our fantastic sponsor. And we have a new sponsor. Thank you to our friends over at South Point Dodge for sponsoring the stream, the Wednesday night live stream for On Texas Football. Hey, Texas football fans, you can score an easy extra point this season when you get to the point at South Point Dodge. South Point Dodge has over 600 vehicles in stock, folks. A lot of vehicles, so definitely have something for whatever your tastes are in vehicles. And their award-winning sales staff doesn't do games or gimmicks. They just get right to the point, straight to the point, about getting you the best deal possible. So score big today at South Point Dodge. You can go see them off I-35 South Austin, or go to southpointdodge.com. That's southpointdodge.com. Get to the point at South Point Dodge.
Good stuff, Rod. Good stuff. Thank you for sponsoring. Rod, I had a question for you on this as we talk a little bit more about what's going on with the Longhorns and the secondary, et cetera. Anything else you found in your rewatch of the defense that you want to point out before we go to the next question?
Yes. Also, I do believe they're getting away from the boundary in the field corner, or at least based on what I saw. The corners didn't switch sides based on the field and boundary, like Ryan Watts did last year. And I hope based on versatility, they're trying to get away from that, or they're trying to have less rigidity in the defense. All right. That rigidity means you got more rules. More rules mean as an offense, if you're an offensive mind, you find out what those rules are, and then you can violate those rules. That's what Sark is really good at. That's what the whole point of the formations and the different, you know, motions and shifts is to try to figure out what the rules of the defense are in certain situations, and then you can violate them. If your nickel's not traveling when you do formation in the boundary, or if you your boundary corner is always, he's a boundary corner, right? So he's always there. You know when to attack and how to attack a guy like Ryan Watts, instead of just being malleable enough to be able to shift different pieces around. So I want to say that they're trying to get to that, and one of the kind of rudimentary ways of that is just go, no, we're left and right corners, and they're field and boundary depending on where the ball is placed. That's something that I noticed that I thought was pretty interesting because it was different from last year. And I do think, and I don't know if they're doing this or not, but I do think they need to get into more exotics. And this might be a Johnny Nansen influence thing too. Johnny Nansen is an exotics guy. Like if you go look at his time in Arizona, they would throw out exotic looks. Like he had a Joker package with five down linemen that he would use, but it'd be situationally. He'd only use that against a team like San Diego State. And he would have a dollar package, like a seven defensive back package that he would use when he's going up against a team like, you know, Washington that's going to throw the football, right? So he's an exotics guy, throw out exotic looks. Texas has some personnel that they can do that with. They can do it with those edge rushers. You can do it with a NASCAR package. I think there's room for that, especially when you get teams in pass situation, or if Texas is up big on teams. Remember last year, they were up big on teams, right? Up 20 points, up 21 points, but couldn't put any pressure on opposing teams, even though they were in predictable passing situations. You knew they were going to throw the football. They had to throw the football to get back in the game. And yet you couldn't put pressure on them. You did put pressure on them. You could not translate and convert that pressure into splash plays and sacks and negative plays. And that's what you want to do this year when you start getting up big on opponents. Hopefully that is the case. And I think when you come up with some exotic looks like a NASCAR package where you got four defensive ends on the field at one time or different packages where you're putting Anthony Hill on the edge, or just, you know, maybe you have a Mo Blackwell out there as your big nickel package. I think Johnny Nansen's influence could be more than just coverages. I think it could be exotics as well. Situational, matchup-wise.
I love that, Rod, because I think you're going to see that in the linebacking group specifically. Clearly, that's who he's coaching. But you look back to Jacob Manu, who was the middle linebacker for Arizona a year ago, 5'11", 225, not the biggest guy. I mean, he's not 6'3", 240 like Anthony Hill or even, you know, David Bindo, who's pushing close to 240 as well. But 6.5 sacks for your middle linebacker is quite a bit. You know, that would have led Texas a year ago.
Yeah.
That exotic blitz package that you mentioned, or even just the front looks that provide confusion for the offensive line, that opens up opportunities now for guys like Anthony Hill, David Benda, Leon Glafal to go up and make plays in the backfield, which we saw a year ago. They were all very, very impactful in that sense of the game defensively. So if you can get Anthony Hill to free up, and we saw this, or we talked about this during the Washington game, you know, when Texas wasn't necessarily getting home to Penix, what would we have liked to have seen? Some Anthony Hill up the middle or off the edge or delayed blitz, something to get one of your five-star impact defensive players in the game, you know, put his fingerprints on this game a little bit. I think because of that, you're going to see a little bit of that brought over from Johnny Nansen and implemented a little bit with PK this year on the defensive side of the ball. Those linebackers, they should be very happy, because all of the headlines from the Texas offseason right now on the defensive side of the ball are, the edges are going to be really good. We got to watch the edges. They're going to be chipping with tight ends, chipping with running backs. They're going to be shifting out their guards to make sure that they take care of a Trey Moore, Colin Simmons, and Ethan Burke, or Baron Sorrell. Yeah, all right, that opens up the middle now. And I think that's going to be a way that Texas surprises some folks in 2024 with those linebackers coming up the middle.
Yep. All right, guys, back to the questions here. How about this one from Jackson Kelso? Do you think that other programs will negative recruit Texas based on grabbing wide receivers from the portal year in and year out?
I think this was a special year. I think they grabbed one the year before, none the year before that, unless you count Tariq Milton, who was a walk-on, actually. So I don't think that's the case. And I also think we talked about this morning on Coffee and Football a little bit. This is the last recruiting class of Tom Herman. This is the last recruiting class. So the senior year, right? And so because of that, and the previous one or the prior one was a holdover class from Tom. And so I feel like you're going to see less of that as we go. But Texas is not going light in the portal this offseason. And I think the part of that is because, you know, so many of those guys with Tom Herman left early on and just didn't make it through to have an impact, Rod.
Yeah.
I mean, that's just the bottom line. I look at it, and my question on all of this is, you know, where is Texas sitting a year from now? If they were to have to go to the portal again next year for multiple wide receivers, not for a haymaker, you know, not for a true number one again, because anybody goes for a number one when they can get it. I mean, that's winning football. Have the best player on the team, you know. But I don't see that happening next year because you're going to have likely a golden back, likely a Jontae Cook. Ryan Wingo clearly has the makings of a future number one. So I don't see the need to do that. DeAndre Moore looks like he's going to be a player. And so I don't see that. I mean, I think that they were in – I mean, look – imagine Texas without Xavier Worthy 2 years or 3 years ago.
Ooh,
I mean, they wouldn't have needed just one last year. They would have needed two or three.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm not saying that Texas just recruited at a different level of wide receiver for too long compared to what Steve Sarkisian wants to play with today. That's the reality of it. And Brennan Thompson and Savion Redd, that first year, neither one of them worked out at receiver for Texas. One transferred, and now the second one's transferred after moving to running back and being up to 240 pounds. Those aren't receivers for Texas necessarily. So that's just the way it is.
Yeah, Tom Herman had eclectic taste when it came to receivers, right? It was very – it was an acquired taste.
I mean, he might play eight in a game.
Yeah.
Including some in the third quarter when he's down by 14. I mean, yes.
Yeah, no rhyme or reason to the rotation.
I mean, not a lot of rhyme and reason to it. That would be
yeah. My, no, yeah. It's just weird because I remember him telling me that, you know, he recruited these specific like players to play the H position.
Yeah.
Which was the Devin Duvernay, Jake Smith position. And it meant hybrid. It literally meant it. He said H stood for hybrid. And yet he never used them in a hybrid way. They were supposed to essentially be like a Percy Harvin in your offense, that kind of player, Eric Metcalf. And he never used them that way. It was so well. I was like, hybridize them. It was so crazy. He recruited the right athlete for it, though. I mean, Devin Duvernay is that kind of athlete. So was Jake Smith. I don't know. Tom Herman, like I said, he had a very eclectic taste when it came to wide receivers. Big and, you know, different guys. All right, good stuff there. How about this one from – and I want to – this is something from my man CJ because I know this is one of the players that he likes. He says, does the departure of Austin Jordan, does that leave more possibility of field time for McDonald? Heard he impressed during spring ball.
Yeah, I mean, Jelani's back at the safety group. Could he spin down and potentially play a star? Yeah, potentially. I mean, he was a guy that played all over the field in high school. He was an outside corner, a safety. He had time at linebacker, too. I know it took a while for the Texas defensive staff to really find a home for him because of his skill set and how versatile he is as a football player. So could he spin down and find a way into that star position? I think it's a possibility. But I think right now, with him kind of getting his feet wet a little bit at the safety spot, that's where the staff would like to keep him at the moment. And I think as a result of that, that safety group is going to be very talented. Of course, the more likely option, Rod, you brought this up earlier, is Andrew Mukuba, who spent the last 2 years playing low by the line of scrimmage at that star, at that nickel spot at Clemson. If you're looking for a guy in that group to spin down to replace an Austin Jordan or at least provide depth for a guy like Jalen Gilbo or Jahdae Barron, to me, it's Andrew Mukuba.
Yeah, I like that. But I like the idea of having a big nickel, too.
I do, too.
You know, I like having a, you know, a kind of a Makuba-like nickel. Jahdae Barron could do it all. But I like a big nickel, too. Like Mo Blackwell could be it, but Jelani McDonald could do it.
That's not necessarily the build that we've seen so far from the staff. You know, I mean, yeah, Jahdae Barron's not big. Jalen Gilbo's, you know, he's gotten bigger. I still wouldn't consider him a big cornerback or defensive back by any means. Yeah. And, of course, Mukuba, who – we talked about earlier, only 186 pounds. I think, again, that kind of fits what they'd like there because we see so many just absolutely speedy, electric slot guys in the SEC year in and year out. Look at Berrian Brown at Kentucky. Texas is going to have to face him this year. If you line up with a mismatch in that spot, I mean, that's going to be a tough night. That's going to be a long night for the secondary in its entirety because of how electric he is in those situations that they use all over the field. If you find a mismatch in the slot, I mean, we talked about it with Xavier Worthy and Jordan Whittington a year ago. It opens up the entire field. So I think they're going to find ways to keep those small, you know, speedy, electric, quick, versatile defensive backs in the slot for me.
Let me ask a question, Rod. Best big nickel ever at Texas?
Big nickel. You know who actually had some interesting big nickels is Tyra Lando. He had some bigger nickels.
Yeah.
Remember that group that he had there? And they were a bigger group of guys that he would put out there at the nickel and the sub packages. So yeah, I mean, most of the time Texas had a 5-tool DB at nickel, so they didn't need to mix and match. And when I say big nickel, I just mean a bigger nickel, because there's a big nickel where you actually have three safeties. So I'm not talking about that. I just mean like a hybrid nickel when you do have to play your Michigans of the world, and when those couple of teams you see and you play in the SEC that do want to go into power packages, that you don't totally have to go power because they may have really good tight ends. They may have really good running backs in the passing game. So just in that sense, when you have to – and so it's situationally, obviously.
They can fill the box more so than, say, a Jahdae Barron. That's what you're talking about.
Yes, but his Mo Blackwell is basically
– Mo Blackwell.
It's kind of what I'm thinking about. Yes, he's kind of a – yes, the hybrid kind of I'm thinking about in case you have to go that route and you face that situation, but which is not often, by the way. So good point there, CJ. All right, Nathan wants to know here, hey, Rod and CJ, how do Isaiah Bond, Matthew Golden, Silas Bolden match up against Roy Williams, B.J. Johnson, and Sloan Thomas when they were at Texas? I'll just
Bobby
say,
Rudd, I'll take that one. Y'all are taking that one.
Yeah, I know my man CJ. CJ, even though CJ's his knowledge right now is so impressive, people think he's older than he is. CJ's a young buck. He just he's just very knowledgeable. He sounds like he's wise, but he's not wise because he's just young, but he's knowledgeable.
Those guys to me sound like the legends I used to hear of like the cave paintings back in the way archaic days. You know, oh yeah, like you never know who it was. I mean, I'm gonna let y'all talk about him because Rod, you played against him. Bobby, obviously you covered him as well. Take the floor.
None of them are Roy Williams. There's only one Roy Williams in that group.
Yeah, I agree. The old group is better just because of Roy. Now, if you throw Ryan Wingo in two years with a group of receivers, then maybe you got a shot. But that group was – that was all five stars, wasn't it, Bobby?
Yeah, it was a four. BJ and Roy were – you know, it's interesting. BJ just never – I don't know exactly what happened at Texas there. He didn't necessarily develop into a go-to receiver, even though he's a pretty good deep ball receiver, in my opinion.
Yeah,
Roy just blossomed though. I mean, he always the first minute he stepped on campus, people were buzzing. I mean, it was this is a special dude, and he was a top five pick, I think, overall. The issue with Bond, Golden, and Bolden is I think that those three as a whole might all get drafted, but none of them will be a top five draft pick like Roy Williams, and that. And he was, Rod talks about five tool DBs. Roy Williams was a five tool receiver.
Yeah, he was.
Get it deep. He can make contested catches. He could run a route underneath on you sometimes and break it off. He could, what did he run? The 10, 300 meter of senior year high school?
He was a track for you, long jump. Long jump.
He was a little bit of a freak. The one thing I would say there, is as a group, I would say that Golden and Bolden definitely are similar to BJ and Sloan. So I would put Bond probably as the second best, second most talented, I should say, out of that group. So anyways.
Bobby, can I ask you?
You don't have a true one. There's not a true, like, primo one there except for Roy Williams, in my opinion.
Can I ask you what you might think the 2026 group might look like? You have a third-year Ryan Wingo, a potential senior in Jonte Cook, maybe an Aaron Butler, DeAndre Moore. It's hard to predict, obviously, but if those guys continue on the path that we have seen so far, and especially Ryan Wingo, who we've mentioned compares similarly in his career path at the moment to Roy Williams, could that be a ceiling or even – something that you see similarly in the same light there?
I think so. I mean, I will say this, those other guys have a chance to be better than BJ and Sloan. In my opinion,
I agree with that.
This is whether or not Roy Williams, eclipsing Roy Williams will be hard. And whenever you put him, I mean, I don't know if you ever get a chance to rewatch the Cotton Bowl against LSU, CJ, do that. Longhorn Network is still around, and you will see a guy roll up and just dominate.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, not a bad Nick Saban coach defense, by the way.
Muschamp defense,
yeah, dominate.
Dominate them. They won a national title the next year. That's how good that team was. That team wasn't no scrubs. Yeah,
that's my homework list. I'll get that done.
Absolutely. Yeah. Hey, I want to say thank you to one of our sponsors here, if you don't mind. With Mother's Day coming up, you may be like me, looking for the right gift for the woman in your life. Make sure you check out the carrotconcierge.com. Jody Reynolds is a personal jeweler. She is the Carrot Concierge. You can see some of her beautiful creations here. You can use the QR code on the screen to see even more, or visit her on Instagram or her website, thecarrotconcierge.com as well. Jody's an Austin resident, a Texas fan. Her and her husband and her family listen to On Texas Football all the time. She prides herself in providing personal service. She takes the extra steps to make sure your lady gets exactly what she wants. I recently ordered a piece for my wife for Mother's Day. You guys might want to follow suit or else you're getting get yourself in trouble there. It's a special bracelet that includes the name of my two kids on it. Very happy about it. Check out thecarrotconcierge.com. Again, Jody Reynolds, she's a personal jeweler. Visit her website, give her a call or text, and take care of that special someone in your life. May 12th is Mother Day. Mother's Day, fellas.
Mm-hmm. Good job. Don't forget. Yeah.
Don't forget.
Don't forget. Make it easy on yourself. TheCarrotConcierge.com. It's easy. Just go up there.
Let me ask a question. What would be worse to forget your wife on with a newborn right now? Mother's Day or your anniversary?
Oh, you know what? Okay, anniversary. Because Mother's Day, right? She would forgive me for Mother's Day because she's brand new. She's a brand new mom. The anniversary, she wouldn't forgive. She's like, hey, man, we've been married now for going on 3 years. I'm going to need you to remember the anniversary. The Mother's Day. I think it'll be anniversary for me right now.
It was about five years, man.
Hey, that's a good. How about this one? So I'm glad you threw that out there. Either or, how about this question? If this comes from Robert Pope, if you could only get one, would you want the cornerback from Arizona, Takario Davis, or the D lineman from TCU, Dominique Williams? Ooh. You could only have one. Which one means more?
I don't think it works that way.
I know that's not how it works, but that's why, for sake of discussion, you're right. Texas has enough sugar daddies and NIL money. They can get both. But the point is, for the sake of discussion, which one do they need more? Which one is more of an urgent need for them right now?
I think you have to get the cornerback. Yeah, I do. And I say that because you have three lines of defense in the middle of the field. You know, you have a pretty good linebacking group with David Benda and Anthony Hill. You have a safety group behind them for run defense. You know, that's you don't get busted like we saw because of a defensive lineman in pass pro or in the passing game defensively. Takario Davis, he solves that issue. We know that Gavin Holmes is a pretty good third guy. He can come in and play the role. But again, I think Takario Davis has a ceiling in which he can kind of step into what you expect to be a lockdown conversation because of his length and his time in 2023. Offsetting him with Malik Muhammad as well, to me, would be a tremendous cornerback duo. Of course, Anthony Johnson Jr., a very talented cornerback in his own right as well. Different skill set, only about 5'11", but certainly someone that is very sticky in coverage, very fundamentally sound, and very good at the line of scrimmage, as we talked about earlier. I go there because the home run play is what got Texas beat against Washington. Yeah. It obviously was the biggest red flag of the spring game. That's not the result of a guy like Dominique Williams not getting after the passer. You know, you have edge rushers for that. And that, to me, is the biggest area of concern, again, with this team. Can you limit them? Can you allow teams to work down the field rather than allowing that 80-yard bomb that we saw a few times?
I'm just going to just wholeheartedly disagree with you. Because I think that here's why. I don't think Takario Davis is maybe the best corner in the portal. Okay, so I will grant you that. I think Dominique Williams may be the best defensive tackle in the portal. Here's why. I think there are more decent to good corners out there in the portal than there are good to decent defensive tackles.
Okay.
But one position's more rare, and you need them both. So if you're asking me which one, My answer would be there's fewer of the defensive linemen. So that's why I would come there. Not because I think, but the reason I say you could get both of them is because I don't think Texas doesn't mentally look at it that way.
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
I can tell you that Terry Joseph isn't saying, oh, well, I can't take Dominique Williams for my cornerback room.
Yeah.
Right. Baker's not saying, well, y'all can take Takario Davis instead of me taking Dominique Williams. Yeah. But I do think the demand and supply, or supply
fair. And demand. My counter to that would be, you know, Texas had the Outland Award trophy winner and a first rounder a year ago and still couldn't defend the deep ball. If that's going to be a recurring issue again, I'd rather go get that cornerback that I think could stick around and, you know.
They only lost two games last year, though.
But why did they not make it to the national championship?
What was that reason right now with those two guys? Yeah. They only lost two. They may have lost two, but they only lost two.
And that's why their season ended.
Yeah. No. I don't think there's a right or wrong answer. That's why I think it's an interesting conversation. The NFL coaches and football theorists have the same debate, which, because you're in a salary cap league, you can't invest all of your money in both pressure and coverage. You have to choose one. You're going to choose to invest your draft capital and salary cap dollars in pressure or coverage, which was more important to you. It's a very similar conversation.
Yeah, absolutely. About
is it the D line? Are you investing in? Or you? I know you. Yes, Jeffrey, you get them both. Yes, no doubt. You get them both. No doubt. But for the sake of conversation, yeah, I think it is an interesting one. And hear about this. Jameson Washington wants to know: is Takayo a field or a boundary corner? I've not watched enough film on him. CJ may know. I think Texas is getting away from that a little bit, though. Just so you know, I do think in the spring game you saw more left and right corner and less of the field and boundary. Usually, when you got a big corner like that, they're a boundary corner, though. Usually, when you're that big.
Let me ask you this: is that part of that because Manny Muhammad's pretty versatile? You think that's why they're doing that, Rod?
That's a great point.
More. Yep. I was going to wonder if, you know, if we saw field boundary a year ago because of the skill set Ryan Watts brought. You know, he's more of that guy that you'd like to stick in the boundary with his 6'3 frame, a guy that we know not, you know, the biggest jitterbug, if you will, when it comes to lateral movement, but certainly a guy that with the top end speed that we saw at times can play that half of the field more so. I think now, Rod, we've talked about the versatility and that positionless approach in the secondary. That would be the reason why you would see the change from a left to right corner rather than a field and a boundary.
Yeah, that's a good point. I didn't think about that. I like your Ryan Watts theory there, CJ. How about this one? Jay Wilson, very, very late, but Bobby, would Texas welcome T. Brooks back?
You know, I don't know that. I really don't. I think that so I kind of doubt it, and I'll tell you why. I think once Sark makes a decision, he's one of those guys. Mm-hmm. And we've all run across him in our life. I mean, it's one thing you give somebody a second chance or whatever, but some guys, once they've done that, they're just done.
They're done.
It is very late. And by the way, I mean, people – I want to catch people up on what we talked about. Austin Jordan went into the portal today. That makes 8 current Longhorns. We also are monitoring a couple other guys that possibly could do it, while we're also monitoring guys that could be transferring in. Dominic Williams, defensive tackle out of TCU, we've talked about a little bit tonight already. He was on campus earlier today. We're also tracking Takayo Davis, a cornerback out of Arizona, as well as Anthony Johnson, Jr., out of Western Kentucky, another corner / defensive back as a possibility. But my take on that, Rod, is you just don't know. Long story short, you know, I'm not in Steve Sarkisian's or Terrence Brooks' head. You know, it takes two to tango there.
Amen to that, brother. Gary Hookemitz wants to know, does our beloved Jay Witt have a chance to be drafted? He's got a chance. This year, because of the kind of the talent pool, I think I remember Jim Nagy, the executive at the Senior Bowl, he tweeted out, this was a while ago, but he tweeted about nobody's talking about it because few truly track later round prospects. But he said that because of a combination of NIL money, widespread use of extra COVID years, and the smallest junior class in over a decade, completely wiped out the depth of this year's NFL draft. That's good for guys like Jay Witt because there are fewer and fewer high-level prospects later on the draft. So there is a chance that some team in a 7th-round pick decides, you know what? Let's take that kid, Jay Witt. He's on the board. You just have fewer prospects overall. I believe this year you had 58 underclassmen declare for the draft. That was half the average from 2016 to 2022. That's good. That's good for Jay Witt, though. It's really good for him in terms of the talent pool. It shrinks.
He also helped himself with that second pro day in Austin when he tweeted out he ran a 4.42. You know, that's big because he benched the fifth most or tied for the fifth most bench presses at the combine. That was the only drill he was able to participate in. Of course, did interviews, spoke about it after the Texas Pro Day as well. The biggest thing that he took away from this draft process was the love that his teammates basically spoke about him to NFL draft scouts and executives. You know, he said it was very humbling for him for executives to say, out of every teammate player that you played with at Texas that we asked who they'd like to play with at the next level, they all basically said Jordan Whittington. that goes a long way in the draft interview process for him to finally be able to put some tape, some measurables out in that Texas second pro day. That should help his case. But again, I hope it's not too little too late in this regard, because that's a lot of postseason activity and opportunity that he did not participate in there.
Yeah. No, good stuff there. All right, guys, recruiting question. I'm sorry, go ahead.
Rod, I got to ask. We asked this question today in the state of the program.
Yep.
What round? I'm going to rapid fire this, okay?
Let's do it.
What round do you have these guys going in, okay? Just quickly. Okay. No. Byron Murphy.
First.
Xavier Worthy.
Oh, man, that's good. Second right now. Second.
Adonai Mitchell.
First.
Jonathan Brooks.
Oh, that's good. Cowboys going to take him. The second. 56 pick overall. They're going to get him. Second round.
T'Vondre Sweat.
Oh, man. I feel sorry for T-Sweat. I don't know if anybody's draft stock has fallen as much as T-Sweat has. I'll go third round. I'll go somebody trades for him. Somebody will trade for either T'Vondre Sweat or Xavier Worthy. They're such unique outliers. T'Vondre Sweat's going to be the heaviest D tackle in the league when he gets there. Xavier Worthy's going to be the fastest human being in the league when he gets there. Some teams in love with that, with those prospects. And they'll trade for him.
They will carry the extra. That's an interesting idea. They'll have an asterisk next to their.
Yes, exactly. On draft boards. And somebody will be like, man, if they drop, I'm going to get them. I want to go get them. They're dropping in value. That's good value for us if they're dropping down. So I'll go third round with T-Sway. Once he drops out of the second, some team's going to go, oh, man, I was justified in the third round. Hell yeah, let's trade for him. Let's go get him.
Jatavion Sanders.
Oh, that's the most interesting one. He's another one that I could see a team trading for too. I want to say second, but he just didn't measure really well. I'll go third. I think actually he may not even be your second tight end drafted anymore, actually, with JT.
Right. Christian Jones.
Okay, how about this? Did y'all guys see Daniel Jeremiah's top 150 big board? He's got Christian Jones as the fourth best Longhorn prospect coming out. He's got him only behind Byron Murphy and A.D. Mitchell next man. He's got him ahead of J.T. Sanders and Jonathan Brooks.
That's your biggest riser.
Yes, he's got him ahead of all those guys. He's got him as the 55th, I believe, ranked prospect in this draft.
Wow. You know why? He may have the highest floor of the group.
Isn't that, that's amazing. Yeah, that's a good point. He's seeing something. Maybe because now they're looking at him as a tackle. I knew at first they were looking at him as a guard. Now maybe it's a tackle. I'll go fourth round with him, but it might be the third. Don't be surprised, because there's going to be a lot of tackles taken in this draft. It's a tackle-heavy draft. You're going to have, I think, 10 offensive linemen potentially taken in the first round. That ties in the NFL record, I think so.
Yep. Jalen Ford, last one I want to ask.
Oh, man. Just linebackers don't get drafted that high. I'll go fifth round. Fifth round with Jalen Ford. Fifth round.
Any others drafted? Keelan Robinson, Jordan Whittington, Ryan Undrafted Watts.
Free agents. Priority free agents. Who was the other one?
Jalen.
Ryan Watts.
Ryan Watts and K-Rob.
Ryan Watts might be the one to keep an eye on, guys, late in this draft. You got a 6'3 guy that tested extremely well for his size. Yeah, look at that. That's crazy. That's not crazy, but that's good for Christian Jones. But it's just crazy to see. But, I think Ryan Watts has got a shot at a sixth or a seventh round pick. I really do. I think CJ believes that too. CJ's on board with that as well.
Yeah. 6'3 cornerbacks that have that athleticism, that explosiveness, you don't see them a whole lot. Has enough production, enough experience, 2 years starting at Texas. I think he'll get drafted.
You put him at safety, too, if you need him as a project.
He's a day 3 guy. Don't get me wrong, but I think he hears his name.
I'm with you.
Hey, here's one, guys. I want to add thoughts on Kendrick Blackshire, the linebacker that came over from Alabama. I just want to grab this one real quick, Rod. He's running third team right now. I mean, he's behind Leonga LaFau at third team. So I feel like he of all the guys, now he may be a downhill linebacker in the red zone, for instance, but I think Leonga LaFau running ahead of him right now, second team.
Wow.
Behind, obviously, Benda and Anthony Hill first team.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see what he weighs in coming back into the fall. Because 263, Sarkisian spoke about it, a little too heavy. So that'll be interesting to see what he does in the summer.
Real quick, guys, I know we're getting close to the end of it here. Don P, little recruiting question for you guys. Cortland Guillory announced he is committing this Sunday. He has Texas in his final four teams. Is this a serious offer?
It is a serious offer. There's no doubt about that. He's a good player. Talk about long DBs. He's a longer DB, guys. But right now, I don't know. I mean, I haven't heard anything about him in the last week and a half, 2 weeks. CJ, I haven't talked to Jerry about him. Have you talked with Cortland or with Jerry about Cortland Guillory in the last couple weeks?
Yeah, I know Oklahoma's confident in Cortland Guillory. He was up on campus, I believe, April 13th. It might have been April 6th. Earlier this month, he was up there in Norman. He was up there with Kobe Sellers as well from Shadow Creek. So the two of them right now feeling the love from Oklahoma, who has a cornerback in the fold already, Malik Hawkins, the younger brother of Michael Hawkins, the quarterback from Frisco Emerson a year ago. They feel really confident about Cortland Guillory. He has a Texas official visit locked in for June 7th. Right now, that decision that's coming up in a couple days, I'm leaning towards the Sooners there.
All right, good stuff, guys. Okay, one other question. Did you UTX Horns wants to know, what did y'all think of Daniel Cruz?
Loved him.
First of all, I love me some Daniel Cruz.
Did you see it too?
Well, I love him as a player. I'm a big Daniel Cruz fan. We spoke to him too, by the way, on Texas Football. Love him as a player, but he's got some nasty in his game. He's highly intelligent. I got to go watch Daniel Cruz specific snaps. I will admit that. I don't know if I watch specific snaps. So I will do that, UTX Orange. You guys got any thoughts? But I do love him as a player, though. I do. I think he's a hell of a player.
I told the guys this morning. I mean, he's the guy that looks like he swallowed an oat barrel on the football field. You know, where he's got a chest that just keeps going. Rod, you've been in the NFL. You know what I'm talking about.
I do. I can see the visual.
They had about 10 of those guys on every team in the NFL.
Oh, man, that's great.
He looked really, I thought, now he wasn't perfect by any stretch. He's still young. My God, he's talented.
Yeah, the ceiling.
Whew. Yeah. Oh, I mean, I'm not so sure he's not one of the top five most talented offense. I'm actually pretty sure he is one of the five most talented offensive linemen on the roster. I don't know if he's going to end up being one of the top five. That's a lot of work ahead of him to get there. But I'm just telling you that, you know, that's a guy that has a chance if he just keeps after it and can mentally take to the position.
All right, good stuff there, guys. All right, thank you guys for all the questions in the chat. We really appreciate it. Tried to get to as many of them as we can, so we appreciate you guys. Oh, just really quick, somebody here wanted to know if that was a coverage bust at the beginning of the game. I see Max. Yes, it was a coverage bust. We talked about that earlier. Sorry, not Max. It was Victor. Sorry, Victor wants to know if it was a coverage bust. First touchdown of the game for DeAndre Moore on Terrence Brooks. Yes, it was. Cover three, coverage bust. We talked about it earlier. His eyes were in the wrong place. Should have been on number two. They were on number one, and that's how it worked out. Yes, they were vanilla in the spring game. That's even more unfortunate that the DBs end up getting toasted the way they did on some vanilla concepts. All right, guys, any closing comments before we wrap things up here on the Wednesday night live stream? CJ, I know you're still in Vegas, CJ.
I'm trying to get home. Hey, that draft tomorrow is going to be exciting. We're going to have a fun show. We're going to have a good time. It's going to be fun hearing Longhorn names called all 3 days, multiple times. It'll be a good marketing opportunity for Sarkisian's program right now. I'm looking forward to it.
I wonder if he's going to make an appearance on NFL, on the NFL network or somewhere.
He might.
You know?
Yeah. That might be about, yeah.
I have three guys go in the first round.
I wouldn't doubt that. I wouldn't doubt that at all. All right, Bobby, any closing comments?
I think you're right. We got coffee and football in the morning. You're with Coach Shipley and CJ tomorrow for the winning drive. And then tomorrow night we're doing something a little special. We're doing a watch with us. Aaron Hogan, who does our normal game watch with us, is going to be on covering the NFL draft. Rod will be on a little bit. CJ will be on. Jerry and I will come on. And we'll just shoot the breeze while we're talking about some draft stuff. You can talk a little Longhorn football along the way and take questions, et cetera. Just have a little fun with us tomorrow night. And we'll see you either tonight either tomorrow morning or tomorrow evening as well. We appreciate you guys and thank y'all so much.
All right. Well, don't forget, yes, as he mentioned, the winning drive, 4:15 to around 5:30. Me, Coach Shipley, we'll also have football theory. Coach Shipley and I breaking down some more stuff about the spring game that will be coming up as well. All right. Before we get out of here, let's give a shout out to our fantastic sponsor, Andy Ludicky.
Yeah, absolutely. We appreciate Andy and his group at MyPerfectFranchise.net. If you're looking to own your own business, run your own show, Franchise Game may be what you're looking for. Andy's the guy you want to contact. Reach out to him at Andy@MyPerfectFranchise.net or 404-973-9901 or visit him www.MyPerfectFranchise.net. Thanks, Andy, for your support of On Texas Football.
Yes, sir. And thank you guys for watching and supporting us as well. Really glad the family continues to grow. And that's because of you guys and your support. So for my man Matthew behind the scenes, you got to thank Matthew because Matthew does a great job, man. He is the real MVP of this thing. I want to thank my man Bobby as well. Thanks, CJ. What happens in Vegas stays in Vegas. CJ, stay out of trouble there. And for the On Texas Football family, until next time, hook 'em.
Hook 'em, Rod.